these teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, or prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. Manye dana bijana rupa tapa shutaujas teja prabhava balapauru shabhuti yoga naradhanaya hibavanti parasya pumso bhaktya tuto shabhuravan gadi yutapaya. Om Gyana Tumirantasya Gyanantana Chalakaya Chakshur Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Shukadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunathan Pitamastam Satyam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Srivadha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Pitamastam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Govesha Govika Tanta Radhakanta Namastate Taptakamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpata Rupyasya Kripa Sindho Vyaye Vasha Patita Nam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama The Prahlad Maharaj was a 5-year-old boy and his father was the greatest atheistic demon, and finally Srinadev came, Lord Krishna came as Narahari Rupa, Lord Srinadev, Dalita Hiranyakashipu, just to kill the demon, Parashranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chudusku. Well, after killing Hiranyakashipu, the Lord was exceedingly angry. We all are subject to anger, but anger is originally found in Krishna, Janmadyasya. He's the origin of everything. So he's the origin of anger also. Unless anger is there in the absolute, how can it be found in the tiny parts of the absolute? So the anger is originally there in Krishna, but our anger is small. Krishna gets unlimitedly angry. We get a little bit angry, and we think that we're super angry, but Krishna's anger is beyond limits. Well, after killing Hiranyakashipu, the Lord had appeared as a half lion, half man, a very ferocious form, and was unlimitedly angry. This demon had persecuted his devotee, the Lord's devotee, who was only a little boy. The Lord was unlimitedly furious. And all of the demigods assembled and offered beautiful prayers to the Lord to try to satisfy him. But the Lord remained angry. Brahma offered his prayers, Indra offered his prayers, the Manus offered their prayers, the sages, Prajapatis, the forefathers, the Gandharvas, the Kinnaras, the Kimpurushas. Lakshmi Devi wouldn't even approach the Lord. wouldn't even just sometimes with the husband is too angry, the wife is afraid, she doesn't want to go near him. The Lakshmi Devi also, although the demigods requested her that you're the intimate consort of the Lord, you please try to comment. She held back. So finally, Lord Brahma requested Prahlada Maharaj, the Lord has come for your sake. You please offer prayers to the Lord. So Prahlada Maharaj thought that all of these great demigods have offered their prayers in beautiful Sanskrit language, very choice poetry. And even though they've prayed so nicely, and even though they're the most pious living beings, the demigods, the Lord has remained angry. So what can I do? After all, I'm born of a demon father. So that means that I have demonic blood running through my veins. So when all of the demigods have been unable to pacify the Lord, then what to speak of me? How can I expect to please him? He didn't think, well, all the demigods have offered their prayers, but I'll show them. Mm-hmm. After all, the Lord came for me. He wasn't proud like the materialist. Materialist, as soon as he has any sort of qualification in his mind, he magnifies it. Well, I'm coming from an aristocratic family. Well, I have a PhD. Well, I studied at Cornell. Well, I didn't study anywhere, but I'm just naturally intelligent. We find some excuse to be proud. It doesn't take much. But a Vaishnava like Prahlada Maharaj is naturally humble. He doesn't think of himself as being great stuff. But still, Prahlada Maharaj agreed. He said, one may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. Who's Gajendra?
He was King Indradumna, but somehow he got cursed into being an elephant since, I don't remember what his name was, but some sage came and he was busy offering prayers to Lord Vishnu, so the sage got mad that he wasn't listening to him, so he turned him into an elephant, so somehow he became the leader of a herd of elephants, and then one day he went to a river to cool down, and a crocodile bit bit his leg since he disturbed his sleep. So then although Gajindra tried to get out, and all the members of the herd tried to get out, he couldn't get out, and then he remembered Lord Krishna, since ultimately he was King Indradyumna anyway. So Gajindra then prayed to Lord Krishna, and then Lord Krishna came, and he took Gajindra out of the river, and then he cut the crocodile's head off with his chudra, sin chakra.
Can be the court pundit. Very good. I thought maybe you boys will know who King Gajendra was. We got the whole story in detail. Yes, Gajendra was formerly a king, but due to a curse, he became an elephant. We were all formerly something, but now we're whatever we are. So he was an elephant. But in some fight with a crocodile, he was losing. And finally, he surrendered to the Lord, offering prayers, "Please save me." And the Lord agreed. So Prahlad Maharaj remembered that, well, I may be a demon, but even an elephant, he wasn't even a human being, offered prayers to the Lord, and the Lord saved him. So let me try. No kind of material qualification is the means for satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, only by devotional service can the Lord be known. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Unless the Lord is pleased by the service of a devotee, the Lord does not reveal himself. Na aham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samabhitaha. This is the verdict of all shastras. Neither by speculation nor by material qualifications can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj considered that no material qualification is required and no material qualification will be adequate for satisfying the Lord. The Lord is not impressed by our material qualifications. You go to a rich man and try to impress him with your money. He's not going to be impressed. You go to a great scholar and try to impress him with your intelligence. He won't be so impressed. Go to a beautiful person and try to impress him with your good looks. The Lord is full in beauty, knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, renunciation. Did I leave one out?
No.
Got them all? So when he's full in all of these opulences, what will our offering of some material opulence do? The Lord is not in need of any of these things. And they're simply not impressive to the Lord. He has unlimited opulence. And at best, even Brahma has what? 78% of the qualities of Krishna in small quantity. Each one in small quantity. And he is the greatest living being. He has more than anyone else in the universe. So how much opulence, you know, we think that we're hot stuff. Our opulence is tiny. Even Indra's opulence is tiny compared to the opulence of Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj says, no amount of material opulence will impress the Lord. No amount of mental speculation will enable us to reach the Lord. Bhaktya mama bijanati. Bhaktya. The Lord is knowable only by devotional service. Bhaktya mama bijanati. Bhakti means anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma adhidhavrata. First of all, one has to understand that Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Absolute, and that none of us can ever become one with the Lord. The idea of becoming absolutely one with the Lord is useless. It's useless. We may speculate that we're one with God, or we could become one with God, or we were one with God, we're only by a dream, we're imagining that we're not one with God. But the fact is that I think the children are playing next door. Yeah, you'll like it there. It's really nice. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitanam. We may be eternal, and we may have knowledge, but we're not the supreme eternal. We're not supreme in knowledge. We may be one with the Lord in quality, but we can't become one with the Lord in quantity. Even great philosophers and mystic yogis are bewildered on this point. And therefore they don't know Krishna. They can't understand Krishna. They think Krishna is a great philosopher. Krishna is something, whatever. But they can't understand Krishna as he is. Mam tu vedana kaschana. Hardly anyone can understand Krishna. Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaya. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mam peti tatvatam. Even those who've attained perfection by spiritual realization, out of millions of such persons, hardly one can understand Krishna. Krishna is not available by any amount of speculation, any amount of mystic yoga, any amount of anything except devotional service. Of course, there are those who are actually not very much interested in knowing Krishna. They're interested in material achievements, and if Krishna can help, then he's good. There was, in Madhupati's house, I saw there was some, I don't remember whether it was a calendar or it was a something, but the theme was, the slogan was, material prosperity with the blessings of divinity, by the blessings of divinity. I know it wasn't something you'd published. But people send these things, you know. Material prosperity by the blessings of divinity. By the grace of God, we can enjoy materially. These days there are some housing developers who set up business in Govardhan, and they're developing various Tony housing schemes, upper class housing schemes. The theme being that you can enjoy a life of peace and luxury at, in the divine atmosphere of Govardhan Hill. And people are attracted, yes. I could enjoy in the divine atmosphere of Govardhan Hill a nice house and comfort, and in the advertisements that show little golf court carts taking you around. You've got your car and you're talking on your cell phone. And you've got these little golf carts moving you around the golf course at the foot of Govardhan Hill. You've attained perfection. So people think this way, that life is meant for comfort, life is meant for happiness, life is meant for satisfaction, life is meant for peace. And if I play my cards right, if I'm pious, if I do good deeds, if God smiles on me, then I can enjoy all this stuff. I can enjoy all this stuff. I can have material prosperity with the blessings of divinity. Maybe even I can still do better. And with the blessings of divinity, it means I can have divinity. I become a divine. Maybe I merge with, there's some rubbish meditation group whose leader I had the mixed fortune of hearing, and he was saying that by our meditation process you'll get better grades, your relationships will improve, your performance on the job will improve, you'll be more satisfied, you'll be joyful, and ultimately you'll merge with the, what was it, the field of unlimited consciousness or something like that. So you'll get money, you'll get job satisfaction, you'll get good sex, you'll get good everything. And at the end, you become one with God. Yeah. Whatever you want, we have it in stock. Just do our meditation, and it can all be yours. Whatever it is that you want, up to the point of becoming one with God, just meditate, and it's yours. So this is all cheating. We're being shoe-kicked by Maya. We're being beaten down by Maya. And we're reading some book and hearing some Guruji and imagining that we're really God, only we've forgotten that we're God. And by meditation, I can resume my divinity. Or else I can just enjoy a life of happy sense gratification at the foot of Govardhan Hill. We're neither God nor enjoyers of this material world. We're, in fact, bewildered, conditioned souls, diseased, conditioned souls, who've imagined that they can be happy independently. We're imagining that there's something to be gained in this material world that will actually satisfy us. We're imagining that if I have a nice house, a nice family, a nice job, then all my problems are essentially solved. And if we're pious, we imagine that by the grace of God, this may all be possible. And presumably it will go on and on and on. And we don't think that this will all be finished in a moment. If any of it is in fact achieved, whatever is achieved will be finished like that. And in fact, whatever we achieve will not be what we imagine it to be. real position of the living being is that he's a servant of God. Ekali Ishwar Krishnar Sabdhis. Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Samantha. Every living being is part of Krishna, and therefore Krishna demands Sarva Dharman Pratyajya Mami Vamsa. Give up all your rubbish ideas and surrender to me. Surrender means, doesn't mean that I throw everything out. Oh, this is all material. But it means I engage everything in Krishna's service. Body, mind, words, things, all for Krishna. But Prahlad Maharaj, let's see actually what problem. And Prahlad Maharaj begins his prayers in this way by acknowledging that no material qualification is required. No material qualification is adequate. But as we'll see, he was enlivened by the touch of Lord Nrisingadev. And he offered enlightening prayers to the Lord. So we can all take advantage of the instructive words of Prahlad Maharaj and make our life successful. Prahlad Maharaj is one of the Mahajanas, Mahajana Yena Katasa Santa. We should take advantage and make our life successful in Krishna consciousness. All right, what questions today? Any questions today? Excuse me? Yes, that question is very good. Prahlad Maharaj got liberation and Hiranyakashipu got liberation. Or Kamsa got liberation and Yashodamayi got liberation. So is it the same? In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this question is asked. The mother of King Brikshit, Uttara, raised this very question. She said, it doesn't seem right that demons like Kamsa, Shishupal, and others get liberation. And devotees like Yashodamayi get liberation. Don't they get something more? Don't they get something more? It doesn't seem right. So Prikshit Maharaj explained that yes, those demons who are killed by the Lord get liberation by being merged in the Brahmajyoti effulgence. They become one with the impersonal effulgence of God. Sometimes yogis practice austerity, meditation, mystic yoga to attain oneness with God. The goal they're aspiring for is actually attained by the demons who are killed by the Lord. But the devotees, like Yashodamayi and others, enjoy liberation, but retain their personal identity. Their position is beyond liberation. It's beyond liberation. Because they're engaged in transcendental activities in relationship with you, Lord, in loving service. That the demons don't get. They're precluded from getting that because they're merged. When you're merged, you have no individuality. When you have no individuality, there's no exchange. There has to be two, Krishna and you. So the pure devotees get that liberation. And the demons killed by the Lord attain liberation, freedom from material existence, but they don't go beyond that. Or rather, they're blocked from going beyond that by this trap of merging with the Lord's effulgence. It's like a screening process. Sometimes someone on the spiritual path is offered a choice. What would you like? The kingdom of God or some material benefit? Kingdom of God or this beautiful girl who's so attracted to you and who is so affectionate and so qualified, and with whom you could have such a nice, happy life. Which would you want? Well, I'll take the girl. So that's it. He's screened out. He's not going any further. Or someone else. What would you like? The kingdom of God? Or $1 million? A million? How about $2 million? $2 million. I'll take it. He's screened out. Or someone else is offered, what would you like? The kingdom of God? Or huge popularity? Your name will be on everyone's lips. You'll be a household icon. People see you on the street, they'll say, isn't that? Men will admire you, women will wish that you were theirs. What would you like, the kingdom of God or that? I'll take that. Screened out. Or forget the women, forget the fame, forget the money. This is all material. You're not interested in that. You're a transcendentalist. You're a mystic. You're a yogi. You could merge with God. You could be one. You could attain oneness with God. You could be identical with God. Now, what would you like? Devotional service? Or to be identical with God? I'll be identical with God. Screened out. After surpassing the limits of material attraction, he becomes attracted by the last trap, the last snare of Maya, the offer, the last offer. Girls, nope. Money, nope. Fame, nope. Godhood? He becomes trapped. He's screened out. He can't attain the kingdom of God because he's still envious of God. He still can't accommodate the idea that God is higher and he's lower. That God is supreme and he is subordinate. that God is the master and he is the servant. That's undemocratic. He wants to have equality with God. And he's screened out of personal dealings. Those who go beyond that become better than God. Yashodamayi is more than God. When she shakes her finger, God has to listen. Because of loving dealings. These things can't be understood by those who are addicted to the impersonalist point of view. They're screened out. They get liberation, but they can't attain to the personal abode of Krishna.
Two questions here. Let me ask you the first one. Is there a possibility of such person who merges with impersonal Brahmajyoti to come back, lose his liberation?
If someone merges with the Brahmajyoti, is there a possibility of coming back? Yes, every possibility. Ye nye ravindaksha vimuktamaridas tvayasta bhava avishuddha bhutes aruyakrachena param padam tata. Patanchit ho nadrata yushmanagra. My dear Lord, Aravindanava. There are those who are thinking themselves completely liberated. Vimukta manina. Manina means thinking themselves liberated. Vimukta manina. Thinking. The implication is not fully liberated. Just like there's an Ayurvedic text. One of the people that a doctor shouldn't treat is vaidyamanina, a person who thinks that he's a doctor. He's not a doctor, but he thinks he knows medicine. Don't treat him. There's nothing you can do for the guy. So vimuktamanina, he thinks that he's totally liberated. But abhishuddha buddhaya, he's not completely pure. Vishuddha buddhi means his intelligence is completely, perfectly clear. And avishuddha buddhi means no, not. Why is it not completely pure? Because he neglects the lotus feet of the Lord. Feet means person. He thinks the lotus feet of the Lord are just some sort of poetical figure, but the real absolute has no form, no qualities, no name, no activities. Therefore, avishuddha buddhaya. Even though he may not be interested in material existence, because he hasn't grabbed hold of the lotus feet of the Lord, because he hasn't formed a connection with the personality of Godhead, he'll be recaptured by the material energy. In spite of all the trouble he's gone through for spiritual realization. It's the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. Second question.
So, related to this, so one never really is merged with Brahmajyoti, because Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. So it means the identity of the jiva always going to remain sanatana. So is that contradictory, like merging and...
Is merging contradictory with one's personal identity? It's contrary to one's personal identity. One can do it, but it's not natural. It's artificial. Just like you can, by some arrangement, you could be underwater. You can hold your breath and be underwater for maybe a minute or two, or you can get an iron lung and you can be there for hours and hours. You can get a submarine and you can be there for weeks and months. But it's not natural. It's not natural. After 2 years underwater in your submarine, you'll be going mad and thinking, when can I get on land? Because even though you can do it, it's not your natural position. So to be merged in the Absolute is not our natural condition, it's artificial. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur refers to it as holding one's identity in abeyance. Suppressing one's individuality. It's not the natural position.
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj.
Something else?
You mentioned that in terms of quantity, our anger is very small. In terms of quality, is it fine?
In terms of quantity, our anger is smaller. Is small and Krishna's is great. In quality, is it the same? Something like the same. But our anger is in terms of the three modes of material nature. And Krishna's anger is purely a manifestation of transcendental existence. So the same idea is there. When you're angry, you're ready to tear someone apart. When you're angry, you yell and roar. When you're angry, nobody can reason with you. So it's like that with Krishna also, but our anger is contaminated by the modes of material nature. Krishna's anger is pure. You can say that our anger is a perverted reflection of Krishna's anger. The tree in the water is something like the tree on the land, but not exactly. Raise a hand on this side.
Can we, you say we have a little bit of anger, can that be somehow or other transmuted or used in devotional service?
Can that anger be used in devotional service? Oh, definitely.
In a practical way here today? And, you know.
I was thinking not of today, but Hanuman became angry and set fire to Lanka.
Okay.
So that was transcendental. One time, I gave this example the other day, that in India, one time, Srila Prabhupada was at a program with his devotees, and the kirtan was going on the stage, and one, Bombay or something, one of the men in the audience began clutching at the edge of one of the ladies' saris. You know, maybe he'd been watching too many Bollywood movies, so he, you know, here was a Western girl in the sari, and he was a lusty Indian guy, and, you know, he must have been writing his own script and, in his mind and imagining something. So he's, you know, clutching at the girl's sari. So Prabhupada took out his kartals, or took his kartals, and began swinging them at the guy. I'll break your head. That was a practical manifestation of anger. Yes.
When somebody that is basically an atheist, but he chants the mantra once, what kind of benefit does he get?
Someone's an atheist, but he chants mantra once. What kind of benefit does he get? He gets very great benefit. Even though he's an atheist, somehow he's chanting the holy name of the Lord. That means he's come in touch with Krishna. Even the atheist, it's such a nice thing. So, of course, because he's an atheist, he may not immediately attain the full results of chanting Hare Krishna, but he's begun. He's begun. Now it can only continue. Even chanting once is so beneficial. Said that by chanting once purely, one can get free from more sinful reactions than one could accumulate. And in the Bhagavatam it said if one chants accidentally or in joke or somehow or other, still he gets the benefit. Just like sometimes these people criticize, yeah, there are these Hare Krishnas, blah, 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 blah. Was it good? They're chanting Hare Krishna. There was one incident during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. The word was getting around that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's this sadhu Chaitanya, and so many people are following him. And so the Qazi, the, I don't know if it was the Qazi, anyway, the Muslim ruler sent some, not exactly spies, but spies, sent some people to investigate. What's, you know, bring me back the report, what's going on there? So the man went and saw what was going on, and he came back and said, they're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and they're dancing, and they're raising their arms in ecstasy and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. The governor said that, yeah, they're Hindus, so they're chanting Hare Krishna. But you're a Muslim, why are you chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? One of my godbrother, Sargopama, he likes to, wherever he goes, he likes to get everyone to chant Hare Krishna. So suppose he's paying his toll at the toll booth. So he'll pay and then he'll say, can you say Hare Krishna? And sometimes they'll say Hare Krishna. And sometimes they'll say, what's that? And he'll say, well, it's the name of God. Can you say it? And they'll say Hare Krishna. And sometimes they're, you know, you're not going to get me to say. But he's happy because he knows that now for the next so many, that he's going to drive away, but she's going to be thinking, aha, he didn't get me to chant Hare Krishna. So what are we going to do, Chan? Anything else? Yes.
We are here right now and we know that Krishna is there and we feel the consciousness here. But once we go out, how to maintain that consciousness?
Now we're here, so we're in Krishna consciousness, but when we go out, how to maintain that consciousness? Chant Hare Krishna.
No, not me. Like, I will be surrounded by so many people who may not be of the same, like we have devotees here, we think the same. When we go out, I want to maintain my consciousness. So how I can do in that environment?
Change the environment.
Change the environment.
We have these very powerful things. things called books.
Books I cannot read while I'm in that.
Hmm?
I cannot read that books while being in their environment.
No, it's not for you, it's for them. Here, take a book. Where are you from?
I'm from Delhi.
Oh, then here, take a book. Didn't matter what you answered, if the answer was Middletown or Passaic or wherever you're from. Here, then, take a book.
My question is, like, they will pursue me to follow something which Krishna don't say.
Hmm?
Something they will say that which Krishna doesn't say to do, like, which is not correct or which is not... So
they'll say something which is not correct. So they're coming from where they're coming from, and we're coming from where we're coming from. They'll put out their propaganda, and we should put out our propaganda. They're always putting out propaganda. What is it? Coke has a new slogan. What is it now? Open happiness or something like that? You know, you unscrew the bottle and happiness comes spewing out.
When you go into that materialistic world, you will be like blown away or drove away with that, right?
No, you're not going to be blown away.
It's human nature, right?
No, it's animal nature.
So they are animals or?
They're animals, absolutely. Animal means their business is eating, sleeping, sex, and fighting. That's the business of the animals. And the business of the human beings is spiritual realization, in which they're not interested. Therefore, they're animals.
So we should ignore them, or we should...
No, don't ignore them. Wherever you go, keep some books with you. And give them one. Here, take this book. What's it about? It's about Krishna. They're putting out their propaganda. Open happiness. A diamond is forever. Spend $1,000 on a ring for your wife and you'll have eternal love. You know, they're one way or another putting out their story. Why should they be the only ones who put out their story? We have a better story. Their story is a lie, our story is true.
So we should always say no, and they should agree what I'm saying.
Yes, they should always agree with you, and you should never agree with them. That's a good policy. Or you can agree with them. Yes, yes, what you say is very nice. Really? You must be a very special person to think that. Here, take a book.
Maharaj, what is the responsibility of a son? Like, you know, son become a devotee and the parents are not so much favorable. So, like, they're already old. And what is the responsibility
of the son is to be Krishna conscious.
We're supposed to preach them or something.
They're not interested, just be Krishna conscious. There'll be so many other people who are. It's not that because they're in some bodily relationship with me, they're the ones who have to become Krishna conscious. And I have to make it my full-time project to make them Krishna conscious when they're old dogs who can't, not your parents, of course, but can't learn new tricks. We hope they become Krishna conscious. We try to give them the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. But it's not that we have to wait. That we won't become Krishna conscious unless they become Krishna conscious, and we can't do anything else. We go on. And maybe they will. But even if they don't, Hiranyakashipu never became favorably Krishna conscious. But Prahlad was Krishna conscious. Hiranyakashipu got the benefit. Yes?
There are major religions of the world.
Major religions of the world.
Who really don't insist on the four regulative principles.
Who don't insist on the four regulative principles. And sometimes promote the opposite.
Yeah. So, does Krishna reciprocate with the followers of the
Krishna reciprocates with everyone. Yayata mam prabhajante tam taiva bhajamya. He reciprocates with everyone. You want to have a religion where you can smoke, drink, gamble, chase women, and have the blessings of God, God will reciprocate. He'll bless you with as much maya as you want. How will they progress? Slowly. Something is good. They've acknowledged that there's God. Something is good. But because of too much attachment to material activities, it's difficult. Therefore, where our Krishna consciousness movement is for people of every religion, even the leaders of various religions. We're not trying to convert them. Leave your religion, join our religion. We have a better religion than you do. Keep your religion, that's very nice. But learn something from this Krishna consciousness movement. Learn not to become more intoxicated. Learn not to gamble. You don't need to have a bingo game. Sometimes the churches are sponsoring bingo, gambling. Oh, stop your bingo game. It's very good that you don't eat fish on Friday, now don't eat fish on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Something is good. Take advantage of this Krishna consciousness movement. Whatever your religion, we don't say you have to change your religion. This is knowledge, it's for everyone. Gold is for everyone, this is for everyone. You can be Christian, you can be Muslim, you can be whatever. Okay. All right, shall we stop here? Yes? What is that?
What is the meaning of tilak?
What is the meaning of tilak? The meaning of tilak is?
Chandan tilak.
Chandan tilak. Well, chandan is sandalwood. Whether it's is gopi chandan. It means the clay which is sacred to Krishna. The meaning is that the body is a temple of God. That when you see this chandan, you think of Krishna. People see the devotee with tilak, and they immediately know, here's a Krishna devotee. Or if they don't, they say, what's that stuff on your forehead? And then you tell them, and they say, and then after that they know. Now they know something about Krishna. So it's advertising. It's advertising. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to the Father.